49, you may agree or disagree with them, but you got to appreciate the thought process that our next guest puts into some important cases, stories, situations. Nolan Findlay, who is the Detroit News editorial page editor, and by way of full disclosure, my boss for my column that runs Mondays. Actually, Nolan, you're one of my many bosses that I have for the column on Mondays, but I'm always happy to have you on talking about things and taking a look at something, in this case, abortion, in a way no one else has looked at it. Good morning, Nolan.
Good morning, Paul. Always good to be with you.
The expected, in your own words, the expected Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade is an affirmation of America's beleaguered federalist system. If the final opinion from the court mirrors the leaked draft, the court will be making a clear statement. States matter. Take it from there.
Well, yeah, I mean, we look at this ruling as if the justices are making a decision on the moral aspect of abortion. They're not. They're looking at the constitutional aspect of abortion, and they've determined that they can't find in the Constitution a right to abortion. And so they've returned it to the states, and it's now a statutory issue. It's up for the states to decide what their citizens want and what rules they're going to have them live by. And, you know, that's federalism, and that's, you know, it shouldn't be such a scary thing. These decisions should be made as close to the people as possible. I think there's an opportunity here. You could defuse some of the conflict we've been going through for 50 years if you allow each state to decide what their people want, what works for them, what laws are best for the people of their state.
As you point out, the founders, recognizing the vastness and diversity of America, and they really had no idea, but that they never intended for it to be ruled by a one-size-fits-all set of dictates. The federal government was drawn to be deferential to the states in most instances. And so while the yelling and screaming is, again, taking away women's rights, it really isn't doing that at all. It is, in fact, doing what the Supreme Court is supposed to do, taking a look at the Constitution, and then, based on what they find, making their ruling, which in this case will be, we think, giving it back to the states, which people should be thrilled with. It takes away any of the restrictions that might have been imposed in the court's 1973 ruling.
Well, here's what, you know, what you can expect to happen. And that's why I say people who care about this issue should care about their state elections this fall, because that's where it's going to be decided. And you're going to have a few states where, you know, abortion is illegal. We've got a few states now that are passing those laws. But in most of those states, it's what the people want. I mean, I looked at a New York Times analysis, and the eight states, there are eight states where people are against abortion by more than a 10 percentage point margin. And those are the states primarily with the most restrictive rules. Most other states, you know, haven't put in place such restrictive rules, and the people are somewhat in the middle. And I hope it's the middle that will decide this issue, because, you know, most folks in Michigan and elsewhere aren't on the extremes. They're not wanting abortion to be a completely unregulated environment, and they're not wanting it to be illegal. In this state, there's solid support for keeping abortion legal. There's also solid support for making sure choices are made responsibly and early in the pregnancy. And I would hope that's where the policymakers start the discussion.
Well, one would hope that, and one would hope that we'd get rid of all the regular other stuff. I mean, it really annoys me when the excuse is given and the signs say, when have men ever been held to account with their bodies? Well, that's a most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And when then Senator Kamala Harris was grilling Judge Brett Kavanaugh, and she brought up, well, let me see if I can play this kind of one of her things. It'll jump around a little bit, but here we go. Oh, wait a minute. It's not, it didn't come from the beginning. All right, here it is.
That give government the power to make decisions about the male body.
Can you think of or name one place where the government makes decisions about male bodies? He struggled with that. He couldn't come up with one. Mine's simple. She apparently never heard of the draft. She never heard of men against their own will being sent to die in war.
Right. That's
I mean, is that not a pretty basic one?
Yeah, that's
a good point. Men have never been told what to do with their body. Oh, I except for them having to go and fight a war that maybe they didn't believe in or didn't want to. I was a Vietnam era. I didn't want to.
And putting their bodies at risk.
Right.
I mean, there's something sinister in this whole that whole notion that has developed over years that this is all about a woman's choice, as if pregnancy doesn't affect men at all. I know pregnancy affected my life, and I assume it did yours, Paul.
Yes,
and I think this, you know, this idea that men have no role or no place in this, I think most of us, you know, this whole decision about when and when to have children and how many children was a joint decision. And there's, you know, it's harmful to shut men out of that whole notion of
none of the say, but all of the responsibility.
Right. Well, I mean, it's allowed men to skirt that responsibility. I mean, when I was young, I mean, if somebody got pregnant, it was usually followed by a wedding, sometimes with a shotgun. And so this idea that, you know, men have no role and no responsibility, I think is harmful to our society.
Right. And you point out again, this isn't at all what the Supreme Court is ruling on. They're merely going to do what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to look at it and say, is this a federal government nationwide edict, or is this something that should be left up, as you put it, statutory, up to the states? And they're what's that?
Where you as a voter have a tremendous amount of influence and a tremendous amount of decision. And if this is an issue that's important to you, you should be looking at the candidates this fall and where they stand. And if all you see on the ballot is, you know, the extremes, you know, I think you should be demanding better candidates.
Quick take, we have a minute, on the unbelievable, in America, shortage of baby formula.
Well, I mean, this is a crisis all around, Paul. We have, you know, the COVID shutdowns, the very ill-advised, ill-thought COVID shutdowns have set us back tremendously. And yes, there's baby formula, but you also have more families facing some pretty hard choices when they go to the grocery stores. And a good number of them aren't going to be able to afford to eat. There's, you know, hunger is going to become a serious issue if food prices keep going up at the pace they are. And that's something that we shouldn't be seeing in America.
Inflation, and then gas prices, and then food prices. Sorry, Mr. President, they're not all Vladimir Putin's fault. Sorry. Get a mirror in the White House, my friend. Appreciate your... do something is right. That's a simple answer. Do something! Thank you, Nolan. Appreciate it. Nolan Finley, Detroit News at 7:58. The Paul W. Smith Show, WJR.